This is a session called Life Exam. The second part of the title is Life is Not a Dress Rehearsal. And I don't know how many of you have lived your lives as if it is a dress rehearsal or have lived parts of your life as if it is a dress rehearsal, but I know I have. So,
I'm not even ready for the dress rehearsal.
You're not even ready? You're still in the
practice
stage. Well, I said today at the announcements at breakfast time that this would be a primer in finding purpose in life, and we have 50 minutes to do it in, so I think that's plenty of time. I'll tell you, I've spent a good 37 years working on this, and probably I'm hoping to do at least that many again, so I believe that it's a lifelong process here. But I hope today that we'll have some fun together. And my goals for today is just to kind of begin the assessment of where we are right now as individuals. And I have a little tool that we'll use together to do that, just to kind of see how we're feeling about our life, examining our life. And then my other goal for this session is to get people involved with each other and start people having a chance to know who you're in community with, at least in the next hour. We are now a small community, and maybe some of us will be here all week, all summer, whatever. So those are my two goals for this session. Very simple. You'll find, if you come to more of my sessions this week, that I'm a very simple person and try to accomplish those goals. And I set low goals for myself so I can be a success. Let me give you a little bit of an introduction of who I am. Some of you may have heard this already, but I am, it's hard to explain what I do. I like the phrase somebody used recently about being a human being rather than a human doing. And that's kind of my goal in life, is to be a human being. Although I've spent a lot of my life being a human doing, and I spend a lot of my life still doing a lot of things. But my background is in educational psychology, and I've done quite a bit of group work, and that's my real passion, is helping people get involved with each other and living together moment to moment peacefully. That doesn't always mean that there's not conflict between us, but that we know how to peacefully deal with that and reconcile one another to each other. So that's kind of my passion and my background. Presently, as an occupation, what occupies my time, I help run a small bookstore restaurant in Minneapolis, Minnesota, called St. Martin's Table, and that is a wonderful opportunity. It is an outreach ministry of the community of St. Martin, which is another one of my jobs. I'm a staff person to the community of St. Martin, in which I have the opportunity to do a lot of my group work and I lead a lot of meetings, let's put it that way, and try to get people organized and interacting with one another and committed to the ministries that we do in the community of St. Martin. And then on top of that, I do a little freelance work here and there so I can pay the rent, leading retreats and church forums and that sort of thing. So somehow it seems to work. I don't know why, but when I look back on it, I've paid the rent, my landlord's happy, and I've had even some food on the table. So I have a background working mostly with young adults in college and university settings. So I've done a lot of leadership development and group work along the way. So now you know a little bit about me. I'd like you to learn a little bit about two other people in the room. Silly enough to think that you're going to get to know each person in this room very well, but I'd like you to get to know two other people in the room. So I'd like you to get in triads right now, introduce yourself to that person, and I had a question here I wanted you to address when you talk to each other. Tell them your name, where you're from, and how you felt in your times in your life. Tell about some time in your life when you felt like you have been in dress rehearsal, that you haven't been living up to the moment, an instance. It could be very simple. It could be a big thing, like I'm waiting for Prince Charming or Princess Charming to come along, and I won't do any, I won't buy any pots and pans until then. That's the story of my life. I don't have good pots and pans because I'm waiting to get married. And one of these days I'm going to go out and buy decent pots and pans. Maybe it's something else, you know, that's just very simple, that you're putting off a trip for something because it's a better day or whatever. But just find two other people, become triads, and introduce yourself, okay? Do that right now. And we're going to like you to share a little bit later some of the things that we're going to do in the next month of time. Just quickly, I'd like to hear just a phrase or sentence about some people's dress rehearsal. You know that I have bad pots and pans. What other ways have people been living in dress rehearsal? Just quickly, I want to spend a lot of time on this.
School,
putting off school,
no.
Or going
staying
to school?
School.
Staying in school.
We were still in dress rehearsal, we were just getting acquainted.
Okay. Anybody else?
Caring for an elderly parent who becomes a child.
Okay.
Thanks. We had a couple people who were in transition looking for a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not knowing where relationships are going.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Fantasizing where they might go. Mm-hmm. I don't know. At least I spend my time doing that. This is true confessions, didn't you know that?
Wanting children and being told you couldn't have them and then putting your life on hold because fairly emotionally devastating.
Yeah, that's definitely. Thank you. And now you have two great children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else? I just want to follow up to my pots and pans stories. several years ago, I was living in Northfield, Minnesota, and I had just come off a broken relationship, a broken engagement, and life was pretty much dress rehearsal at that point. I was just one day at a time, just trying to get through it. And finally, and I also come from a real simplified lifestyle, family and background, and you don't have a lot of stuff, and you have only what you need. So I was really dedicated not to have a bunch of stuff, and yet I was feeling real bad about who I was. And finally I went to an arts and crafts festival, and there was this beautiful boutique. I thought it was wonderful. I really liked it. It was frivolous and colorful and silly. And it cost $90. And a friend of mine saw that I really liked it, and I went away. Well, you don't spend that much money on a picture to hang on the wall, heaven forbid. And she convinced me that I deserved it, and that it was part of my going on with my life. So I said, no. And I went on to some other activities, part of the festival, and that afternoon I decided, I think I'll go get it. If it's still there, then I'll buy it. Knowing full well that somebody would have bought it because it was such a lovely piece. Well, I went back and it was still there. So I bought it. And it still hangs, it's in my house today. I bought that about 10, 12 years ago. But it represents me saying to myself, I deserve good pots and pans, or I deserve. So that was me deciding to get on with life and not live life as a dress rehearsal at that point. I have a little model I'd like to share with you that has been real helpful to me. I forgot to tell you that if you don't hear me, just tell me, because I have one of those voices that people say they can't hear very much, and I'm real used to having people say to me, I can't hear what you're saying, so feel free to do that. There's a model, I call it the diamond model. It's not anything to do with baseball or softball. It's developed by a man named Bob Terry. He's the director of the Reflective Leadership Program at the University of Minnesota at the Humphrey Institute, the Hubert H. Humphrey Institute of Public Policy. And it's been a real helpful model to me. He developed it originally for organizations, but I use it in my personal life all the time and in relationships with other people and in counseling with people and in group work and everything. And the crutch, it's real simple. If you remember nothing about it, is that mission is at the top of it. There are four points on this diamond. And I'll just quickly go through all of them. He says that at the top of whatever we do, whatever our organization is doing, or whatever we want to accomplish, we need to know our mission. We need to know what we're all about. And he defines mission as being authentic to yourself and to your world. That encompasses a lot. Authenticity to who you are and to your world. It's a very simple concept, but it takes a lot to get to that point, to know what it is to be authentic. There, from knowing your mission, he says, then you will get inner power. And another word for me that works there is passion or energy. your mission is driven by a passion, and you get passion or power, excuse me, from what you know to be authentic to yourself and to your world. Thirdly, then, you create a structure around which to use that energy or that passion to accomplish your mission. A structure is anything from a budget to a flow chart to a building to a curriculum. So a structure within which to use that energy that is addressing your mission. And then finally, you need to find resources to do that, and that could be money or books or buildings or people. The unfortunate thing is many times the movement is this way, from mission to power to structure to resources. Unfortunately, many people start with a resource or a structure and then try to figure out what their mission is and try to get some energy along the way in there. Okay? So the other key point about this model is that when you're having a problem in an organization or in a decision you're making or in a relationship you have with someone else, usually you go to the level below, immediately below where the real problem is. Which in organizations, people generally go to structure. Let's restructure. Let's have more program directors. Let's have more money. Let's build a different budget. Try to change the structure when in reality the problem is that people aren't energized around the issue, and then probably they don't even understand the mission. So for me in my personal life and making decisions about where I'm headed, I always stop and say, well, what is it that's authentic to who I am and what and my world? What's reality for me? That's where I always start. Sometimes, you know, a couple years ago I had to have surgery on my left knee because here's an aside. How many people know what new games are? New games are games that say nobody wins, nobody loses, they're non-competitive games. Nobody gets hurt. Well, I twisted my knee and ended up having to have surgery from new games. So don't believe everything here. But they're still great games. At any rate, where was I going with this? I hurt my knee and I had to kind of rethink about what I could do. And so I had to stop and go right back. Well, what's authentic to my world right now? Well, I can't get around on this knee very good. So my mission changed, shifted a little bit. We have those things in our lives where our mission changes. Someone moves out of our life. We decide to quit a job. Someone dies in our life. So things change in our life. So we are constant, this mission is constantly has to be reassessed. And that's what I hope to do some today. Mary Schramm, who is the manager of St. Martin's Table, where I work part-time, she uses the word energy a lot, and she'll always ask, well, are you energized? She believes that if you're energized by what you do, then you're going to be a productive worker. You have to get energy from what you're doing. She'll jokingly go around and check with people in the store. Fun check, checking to see if people are having a good time. And that's her way of saying, are you energized? Are you living up to what you believe in? Are you living by your mission? So if I come up and check and see if you're having a fun check this week, you know what I'm talking about, okay? Some of this life exam that we're going to talk about, I'm stealing. Most of my anything that is good that I do, I steal from somebody else. And I have said before, plagiarism is the highest form of compliment. So I will compliment right now Dick Leiter and James Harding, who have written a little manual called Taking Charge, and that's most of the material that that I'll be handing out to you is from them. Excuse me, I've got this frog. Dick Leiter in this book says that life is difficult. That's just a fact. And why try to think that it's not? But that it's through the difficulties that we change and grow, and it's through our changing and growing that we have our challenge to take risks. And the more risks you take, the more growth you'll have. We probably all know that. We've probably all had a chance to do that. A life at risk is one that's in reflection. And that's where I'm coming from today. Reflecting on what your mission is, who you are, what's important to you. And this life exam that I'm going to pass out to you is going to give you a chance to think about where you're at in a holistic fashion. And just do some assessment. Exciting things can happen when you do that. Scary things can happen when you do that. I've had the opportunity in my life to have lots of different jobs. I tell people that I'm really a bad worker and I just change job from one job to another, or else I just like too many things. But I have grown wise in my old age to know that what I need between jobs, and it usually has to do with mountains, and it has to do with water, and it has to do with time. I know that Chris is doing some of that right now in her life. But when I've been between things, I have taken off in my car and spent a lot of time alone and thought and seen some of the country and been in some mountains and by the water. And that helps me to make a transition, to move on to what's next, to take the time of reflection. Because what's coming is exciting and is going to take a lot of my energy, and I need to be rejuvenated. So that's kind of what's worked in my life. I've also had the gift of being able to do that. You know, I haven't had other restrictions in my life, like owning a home or having children or elderly parents or something like that, that have held me back. So I know that I have been a gifted person in that way. Instead of just talking about this, let me give it to you. I know you're just itching to get at it, right? Just Pat, let me take one of those, and I'm going to work you through this together. We'll do some of this. None of us would think anything of having an annual physical or a physical every year or two or something like that, or assessing our financial situation, looking at that. And that's just exactly what this is. It's just kind of looking, having a physical exam on our whole life here. And what I'm going to do, can I have one of those? I'm sorry. There might be one that has whiteout on it. You don't want that one. That was my one that I copied from. Did everybody get one? Great. Thanks. What I want to do, it's very simple. The directions are very simple. First of all, you all pass. So there are no wrong answers on this test. Okay? And secondly, it's very simple. I'm going to read the question and give you some thought things to think about around each question. And I want you to score yourself. 0 being low and 10 being high. And if you have some thoughts, I have some pencils up here. Have some thoughts that you want to, you know, jot down there. There's a little bit of space there that you can do that with. Okay? If you need a book to write on for hardback, there's some Bibles over there. I suppose that's not a good thing to do. But I'm really going to read you through this, and we're going to take several minutes with it. So, Therefore, I'm going to sit down and get comfortable myself. The first question is, is my work, family, or relationship and personal life in balance? Think about the trade-offs that you have in your life right now. Do you have relationships and friendships that are satisfying? Is your physical condition adequate? Are there things that you'd like to do? Give yourself a score, 0 to 10, 0 being low, 10 being high. Where do you stand on that? Remember, no wrong answers. Number 2, do I have written life goals? Do I have a dream journal? Do I have dreams? Do I really know what I'd like to do? And have I written that down somewhere? Do I have a career dream worth dreaming? Is there purpose, motivation, and fun in that dream? Do you have missionary zeal when you look at your job? However you determine career, it's up to you too. Number 4, have I changed recently and how? What changes have there been in the last 2 years for you? Has your philosophy changed? Are your feelings different? How about your physical vitality? Any new interests? Are you handling relationships differently? 5, am I satisfied with the quality of my spiritual life? Do I know what spiritual means? Do I have time for meditation daily? What beliefs govern my personal actions? Am I satisfied with my faith? 6, am I living where I want to? Name 3 other places you'd like to live. And why would you like to live there? And why are they better than where you live now, or is where you live better than that? Number 7. If I were to die today, would I be leaving the memories that I'd hoped for? What would you like to be remembered for? Do I feel as if I'm growing at this stage of my life? Am I challenging my intellect? Am I learning new skills? Have I been exposed to new experiences, new cultures, new lifestyles? Do I have a conscious commitment to growth in my life? Number 9. Do I make an effort to acknowledge my own uniqueness? Do you honestly think about the attributes which you bring to situations? What are your special talents or characteristics? Number 10, do I take time most days to be alone, to think, to meditate, to reflect? Do I keep a diary or a journal? Don't give yourself high marks in this area unless you have some alone time every day. Number 11, do I allow myself the freedom to fail? Do I try new things? Do I risk new things? Do I risk things athletically, physically, emotionally, in my career, spiritually, in relationships? Number 12, am I having fun in life? Do you have a regular belly laugh? How do you have fun? Do you do things because you enjoy them or because you have to? Thirteen. Am I using my work well? What would you like to...
13?
Hmm.
Time.
Yeah, it does. Different on this list. Are you using your time well? What would you like to do if you had more time? If you had control of your time, total control, what would it include? Are there current issues in my life that I avoid looking at? In my family or relationships? In my career, my financial situation, my health? Do I make decisions by default?
How do we mark that one?
Yeah.
If there's nothing we avoid looking at, is that a high mark or a low mark?
Number 14, I'm sorry, I was thinking about something different here. Are there current issues in my life that I avoid looking at? Okay, give yourself a low mark if, let's see, that's a good question.
If the answer is yes.
Yeah, if the answer is yes. Do I do things that conflict with my values? Are you doing things you wouldn't like to have public? Do I have people to whom I can turn for support in time of need? Do you have a mentor, friends, someone outside your family to whom you can turn to when you are in stress? Do you have a support group? 17. Am I honest in expressing my feelings? What feelings do you repress? Eighteen. Am I satisfied with my health and my energy level and my vitality? Have you had a physical in the last 2 years? Do you exercise regularly and vigorously? What are your bad habits? How's your diet? 19. Do I have a financial plan that will work now and in the future? Am I able to save money? Do I do the things I like to do? Do I share my money and my other gifts? 20. Write a good question somebody ought to be asking you and score yourself. Write a question that someone ought to be asking you and then score it for yourself. What I'm going to ask you to do now is to get back in that same grouping that you were before and share any insights you had. You don't have to share your answers or your score. You can total up your score too if you're good adders. Or if you gave yourself all tens, then it's easy. Get together with that same group of people. I'd like you to share some insights that came out for you, some things that you might have learned about where you are in your life, and just talk about the experience of doing this and any insights you might have. And we'll take about 10 minutes for that. So you have about 3 to 4 minutes each, okay? If you want to spread out in the room, you can, that's okay. Willing to see in the entire group thoughts that came out of your taking this little inventory and the conversation you've had.
I think my group kind of found that a person who's going through a major change or transition at this point, you know, or unsettled is where they're at, is going to find this test really, I don't want to say useless, but very hard to even touch. So you kind of imagine a situation in your past or try to give yourself a score somehow.
Okay.
But it's okay. Kind of geared towards a person who is kind of settled someplace, at least physically.
Okay. So your scores were low?
Well, I guess on the most part, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think being able to answer these takes time. I mean, I've been working on these things for years. You can't do it in a year.
The idea is to keep this sort of in mind and constantly be reassessing. That's why I gave it to you, so you can take it with you and think about it later. Other insights that people had? Anybody have a high score?
What is a high score?
Yeah, what is it?
10 times 20. 200.
Oh.
Yeah. So you're feeling, want to say anything about that, or?
Well, I'm doing some things that I've been wanting to do. So. And I'm working here on staff right now, which is what I'm wanting to do.
So you've made some decisions that you feel good about. What are some of the questions people wrote for themselves? I'd be interested in hearing some of those questions.
Who are you living for?
Who are you living for? Just a second. Okay, let's hear some other. Who are you living for? Other questions of people.
How much do you trust yourself?
How much do you trust yourself?
Do you have confidence in yourself?
Do you have confidence in yourself?
I want to be yellow.
Anybody else?
Are you doing all you can to change the negative things in your life?
Are you doing all that you can to change
the
negative things in your life?
I guess you kind of almost ensure, not necessarily ensure, but have another question that might be out of the realm of, does your life have integrity?
Does your life have integrity?
Whether you're settled or not, or have it supported.
That's right. It's a good question. You had your hand up.
I said, do I feel at peace with myself?
Do I feel at peace with myself? Any other questions? Good questions. I had written on April 10th, 1986 for myself, do I feel like something is missing in life? Pardon?
Pots and pans.
Pots and pans. Yeah, right. I gave myself a 7.
Must have been the pots and pans.
Any other questions that people have wrote for themselves? I think of all the questions on there, I think that's the most important one, because that's the one we're really asking ourselves. And we're saying we'd wish somebody else would ask it of us. Force us to make a statement about it, force us to be public about it, force us to any value that we have is truly a value when we become that public about it. When we
make some behavior that is outward, that shows the world we truly value this. So by writing this question down, it says, I value this aspect of who I am, or integrity, or at peace, or who am I living for? That is, I think that's probably the most important question on the sheet. And I challenge you at this point now to take these and continue to think about these questions, and to another way of using this is to give the same questions to someone else and ask them to answer them about you, someone who knows you fairly well, and have them give you feedback about you to see how your score compares with the score that someone who sees you publicly scores you.